All right, Cameron Wright, why don't you stand up? And this is my pastor, and he will always be my pastor, no matter how grown up I become, and no matter how big I get. And I love this man. I call him on the phone with my problems. I cry on his shoulders, and sometimes I just try to make him laugh. And but Cameron just means so much to Stephanie and I, and he's an amazing man, amazing friend. He's a father to us, and we're so glad to have him here. And yeah, give him a clap. Over to you.
Give me a slap. Hey, it's great to be here. I love coming and just spending time with my family in South Carolina, and it's just great that God's given me the honor of launching leaders into ministry, and when I visit different churches, we establish relationship that goes on and on, and so we now have friends here, and it's just such a blessing that it continues. You know, it's something that it's what I call a generational church, where the church goes for generations and generations. And so you are part of our family, and we pray for you every week. We pray for New Day South Carolina several times throughout the week that this church would prosper, as well as we pray for our local congregations. And it's just a joy to be walking out this journey together with you. But I have something I really want to share, so I want to jump into the message. And it was over the last day or two, talking about the necessity of emphasizing our core values as a movement, as a church. And one of the main values that we walk in is forgiveness. I love that John and I've known him for many, many years, and he always comes back to the message of forgiveness. And it comes across so rich, because he walks it out and he lives it. And I continue to see the impact in people's lives when they hear just the basics of walking out forgiveness in our lives. And so I'm going to read a couple of very familiar verses, but I want to talk about a little bit about going beyond forgiveness. All right? And this is how you and I can experience the benefits of forgiveness in our lives in a more powerful way. So let's just jump in. Matthew 6, 12, as Jesus is talking to his disciples about how to pray. We're familiar with this. When you pray, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. But then he goes on, he says in verse 12, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And he pauses and then he says, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Oh, let's just say hallelujah to that. Dave, could you write a song? You won't be forgiven if you don't forgive. So now we know that he's not addressing the theology of grace. Because Jesus died for the sins of all men and women, all people, already on the cross. He paid the penalty for the sin. He's the propitiation for our sins, and not for our sins only, but for the sins of the whole world. So it's not earning forgiveness that forgiving others obtains for us. But what it does do is it enables us to experience forgiveness in a fuller and greater way. And that's what he's talking about. And forgive, he doesn't use the word sin. I looked it up in every translation, and in the original Greek, it doesn't say sin. It says debts. And you know what the word in Greek means? Debt. These translators are pretty good. It means something owed. When you owe somebody, you're in debt. And that's what this means. And then he goes on, he says, if you don't forgive others their trespasses, God won't forgive your trespass. So he does use a different word, and trespass means a slip. Oops, I made a slip. I did something wrong. Or crossing a line. Oh, that is easy to understand. Like, do not trespass. A big sign. Do not trespass. You know that if you walk across that line, you've crossed the line. And so that's a real easy way to understand sin, is that it's crossing a line. And that line is violating the nature or character of God. All right? And when we do that, we sin. But what happens is every trespass, unintentional error or willful wrongdoing. Oh. So that means whether you know it or not, whether you do it on purpose or not, you still cross the line. All right? I live by a nuclear power plant. It's a bit of ways away. But there's this stretch. It's a beautiful road, so I bicycle it and I motorcycle this road as often as I can. But along the road, do not trespass. And then it says, armed guards have authority to shoot to kill. I happen to know one of the guys who works there. And he works there because he gets to carry around a high-powered rifle. If you cross that line, there are consequences. All right? And so willful or intentional or unintentionally crossing a line is what trespass means. And so when we commit a trespass, when we cross a line, when we do it unintentionally or intentionally, we are creating a debt. All right? And so every sin in our lives is actually a debt. Now, I actually owe a lot of money. I have natural debt. And I'm working on getting out of debt. But you know what? If I leave church today and I get hit by a car or I just have a heart attack, another heart attack, and die, you know what? That debt is gone. It's actually even gone. My wife's not going to have to pay for it. We got insurance. All right? And so death, that debt can't hurt me after I die. So financial debt has a limit. You know, it can't affect my eternity. But spiritual debt is actually more important because it can affect you eternally. It can affect you on the other side of death. And so spiritual debt, as a result of transgression, as a result of sin, as a result of intentional or unintentional violating God's character, is something that's more important than natural debt. So Jesus talks about forgiveness, and then he emphasizes it's the only part of the Lord's Prayer that he actually repeats and elaborates on, because we need forgiveness. We need to have that debt. How many want to be forgiven? How many want to experience forgiveness? And we need to know how to forgive others, right? But the ultimate purpose is that we need to become like our Father. When we're debt prayer is to lead us into becoming more like our Father, because he's the one that forgives us, and then we can walk in his character. The goal of Christianity is not just avoiding crossing the line. The goal of Christianity is not just getting relieved of our guilt. The goal of Christianity is not just avoiding the punishment for the sins we commit. That is not the goal. So many Christians live thinking that is the goal. Not breaking any of the rules, and if we break any rules, we won't be punished for them. That's not the goal. The goal is to become like the Father. Because if we take on his character, guess what? You're not going to cross those lines. All right? It's just going to be natural. And so becoming transformed into his character is really the goal. That's where we're going for. So forgiveness is important. Even more important than that is learning how to be like our Father so that we can experience the fullness of what forgiveness is supposed to be. Unfortunately, if you're like many Christians, you may still struggle to experience forgiveness. In other words, there's two things that happens. You may have committed a sin, willful or unintentional, and still bear the feelings of guilt. And I've known Christians that for years have prayed the prayer, but then still feel the shame, the guilt, and are controlled. Their lives are controlled by something that they've already asked forgiveness for. And we have lots of ways of dealing with that, but ultimately they're walking in that guilt. And the second problem is you either carry guilt or you carry a grudge. And that is you're still upset about somebody that did you wrong. And we know that when if that person happens as, you know, if you're at work and you see that coworker that said something that you found out they said something about you that wasn't true, it's the first thing you think of. You forgive them. Next day you go to work, that's the first thing that you think of. Pretty soon they're there, you walk over here. Come in the church, that person's sitting on this side of the sanctuary, you sit over on this side of the sanctuary, right? You know, did you forgive them? Yeah, I've forgiven them. But you're not experiencing the freedom. And so I want to look at an example of Jesus in that he actually did something beyond forgiveness. And I think this is a key for us experiencing the fullness of what Jesus accomplished. So we're going to look at Jesus' example of what he did on the cross. Now, we all know what Jesus accomplished on the cross, right? He died for our sins. All right, Jesus died for our sins on the cross. Okay, that's true. But I'm going to look at three specific things he actually did while he was hanging on that cross. All right, and the first thing is, let's read the familiar verse. It says, this is in Luke 23:34. While he's hanging on the cross, okay, now keep in mind, he had been wrongfully accused, tried, and convicted of something he wasn't guilty of. He was innocent in every way. Then beaten, and then he had to carry the cross. Then they nailed him to the cross, and he's hanging on the cross. So he's suffering all of this pain. And while he's on the cross, he says these words out loud. We know he said it out loud because it's recorded. Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. And I think it'd probably be more accurate to say, they don't realize what they're doing. They don't realize. Father, forgive them. In the midst of his pain, in the midst of the betrayal, in the midst of him taking on the full weight of the guilt of the sins of every man, woman, child on planet Earth, he was able to say the words, Father, forgive them. He was able to verbalize it. And so you can forgive somebody in your heart, but it's another whole step to say it out loud. And if you're waiting to be able to say that till after the pain goes away, you're not following the example that Jesus set for us. Because he said it in the midst of the pinnacle of that pain. Father, forgive them. They don't realize what they're doing. He spoke forgiveness. But that's not all he did. He interceded for them. That's not all he did. This is what came to me just less than 2 weeks ago. Luke 23:39 says, this is what happened next. One of the criminals hanging beside him scoffed. Who do you think you are? So you're the Messiah, huh? Prove it by saving yourself. And while you're at it, save us too. But the other criminal protested. Man, don't you fear God? Even when you have been sentenced to die? We deserve to die for our crimes. But this man hasn't done anything wrong. Then he said to Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus replied, I assure you, today you will be with me in paradise. I had never really thought about the implications of what Jesus did right there until God kind of just highlighted this as I was praying. That while he was enduring the physical, emotional, and spiritual weight of the sins of the whole of the world, but also the sins of this man that was hanging next to him. He was dying for that person's sin. All right? And I believe that the physical beating, and I don't talk a lot about that because I think it's not the point. I think that was just a little representation. I think that the spiritual agony that Jesus felt was far more intense than any depiction of blood and beating. Because in that moment, he was separated. My God, why have you forsaken me? That there's a severing of his connection with his heavenly daddy. And that was sin. That's what sin brought, okay? But while he was about experiencing that pain, while he was bearing the weight, the shame and the guilt, he actually turned to one of the persons that was responsible for what he was experiencing and gave him something. He gave him hope. Can you believe that? He turned to the person who caused his pain and said, "Hey, you're going to be with me today in paradise. Hang in there." Hang in there. We're going to get through this. It's not funny, but it's... Listen, in the midst of his pain, he gave hope to someone that didn't deserve it. All right? So in the midst of the pain of betrayal or someone doing you wrong, are you able to say, "Father, forgive them"? Are you able to actually, before you even feel the freedom from it, say, "I forgive you, man"? And maybe it's not appropriate for you to walk up and say it to them in person, but can you say it out loud? "I forgive this person for doing me wrong," out loud. "Father, forgive them." But then, can you find a way to bless them? And that's the beyond forgiveness. Because he blessed that man hanging on the cross next to him with hope. Wow. Talk about selflessness. Someone who didn't deserve it. And then he does one more thing. It says, verse 23, 46. "Father," he shouted. "I entrust my spirit into your hands." And with those words, he breathed his last. And so Jesus gave the only thing he had left to give, and that was his life. All right? He forgave. He spoke forgiveness. He interceded for forgiveness for the very people that were inflicting his pain and suffering. In the midst, he gave away hope and assurance to the person closest to him that he was able to bless. And then the only thing left he had to give was his life, and he gave that. Wow. What an example for us that while we're in the midst of suffering an offense that someone may have done to us, that we can do the same things. We can forgive, we can bless, and we can give. Jesus taught this to his disciples earlier. It's a little longer passage, but I'm going to read it. It's 11 verses. Hang in there. Luke 6, 27 says, "But I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those." Do good. Do something good. Bless them. "Who curse you, and pray for those who spitefully use you." Whoa. "To him who strikes you on the cheek, offer the other one also. And from him who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. Give to everyone who asks of you. And from him who takes away your goods, do not ask them back. And just as you want men to do to you, you also do to them likewise. But if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. And if you lend to those from whom you hope to receive back, what credit is that to you? For even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much back. But love your enemies, do good." Everybody say, "do good." Steve Orsillo said, you know the difference between people who do stuff and people who don't do stuff? The people who do stuff do stuff. Jesus says, do good. Do something good. Lend, hoping for nothing in return. And your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, for He is kind to the unthankful and evil. Therefore, be merciful just as your Father also is merciful. Every Christian I know believes this verse. It's one of the more familiar portions of Scripture. You know, we read it and go, yeah, that's Jesus, that's the standard. But very, very few Christians practice this. Come on. Bless those who curse you. Okay, that's when someone says something bad about you, you go out of your way to do something good for them. When you lend, you hope that they don't return it. Can I borrow your truck? This guy's got a nice truck. You give him the keys. Oh, I hope he doesn't return it. Really? That's a nice ideal. Putting it into practice, it's a whole different thing, isn't it? I hope they don't return it. Try it sometime. This is not an easy. Jesus doesn't water it down, right? But he did it. He gave, whether or not people were, in fact, he knew that they wouldn't be able to return. Forgiveness simply brings the score back to even. All right? And so if someone does you wrong and you forgive them, you're even. Just like the debt thing. If you loan two people money and one person pays you back and the other person doesn't pay you back, but you say, you know, you're forgiven. You don't owe me that anymore. You're even. And Scott said, came up to me, he says, man, if you ever just want to get even, the quickest way to get even is to forgive them. You want to get even, just forgive them. That's a good way to live. But getting even is not the goal. It's the bless. It's to go above and beyond. Getting even, I mean, the cross made it even. But God then assured us of the blessing of eternal life. Not just making it even, but actually promising us eternal blessing and blessing us in this day, even now. All right? So I remember one time where this person got me an appointment and said, I think you're a jerk, and I think you know it. I was dumbfounded. One, because I don't think I'm a jerk. And I have never had anybody ever say that to my face. And I certainly don't try to be a jerk. I try to be a nice guy, you know. So I had a choice then. I could get really mad. But actually, the first thing that came to my mind was, this guy's really courageous. Because everybody else has never told me in my face. I'm like, wow, he's courageous. So I had to forgive him right in the spot. Because I had to keep talking to him. Because because it wasn't true, and I wanted him to know it wasn't true. And I spent quite a long time talking to him. But then from that time on, I actually intentionally go out of my way to find something good to say about him in his presence and around other people. Because I want to overbalance it. All right, I didn't just forgive him for calling me a jerk. I want to bless him by saying, he's one of the most courageous guys I know. Now, I don't tell people why. And he got over. He realized he was misinterpreting what was happening. people have left our church and said things about me that were completely wrong. Like completely a misrepresentation of everything. And, you know, you feel betrayed by that. And so what do? Well, you forgive them. But I go a step beyond that. I make sure I speak well of them.
And, you know, in particular, I can think of a lot of, as I started thinking about it, I'm like, well, there's that example. But, you know, I was like, I think that person made the right choice. Someone will bring on, what, so-and-so, they're not in our church anymore. I said, well, actually, I think they made the right choice. I respect their decision. And by saying that, I'm blessing them, all right? And I mean it. I respect their decision. I don't like it, maybe. I don't think it was the right decision, maybe. You know, if they were to ask. Sometimes it was the right decision, and I actually agree, but they did it wrong. You know, and they left a wake of hurt. But I forgive them all that, and I speak blessing. And so I bless them. I forgive them. I bless them. And in doing that, it enables me, and it will enable you to be free, to experience the forgiveness that Jesus already accomplished on the cross. You need to find a way to bless the people that have offended you or hurt you, as well as forgive them. Jesus said, gave two reasons why we are supposed to do this. Right? One, he doesn't say do it because he doesn't say it guarantees they will change, right? Love your enemies doesn't mean they're going to stop being your enemy. They may be even more your enemy, but we're still to love them. But he does give two reasons. The first reason is your reward will be great. Jesus promised that. Taught it, then demonstrated it on the cross. All right? So when you forgive, I believe the reward definitely we will experience in the resurrection in heaven, in the afterlife. We're going to, somehow God's going to work out that those who live this out in practice experience a reward for that, that we didn't carry a grudge. But I believe we experience it in the present in two ways. If you're experiencing unforgiveness, if you don't feel forgiven, if you're carrying guilt and shame, it may be because you're carrying unforgiveness for somebody that offended you. You haven't forgiven men their trespasses, so you're not experiencing the forgiveness that the Father has for you. And so if you're in a state where you can't get rid of those feelings of shame and guilt, you need to ask Holy Spirit, who am I not forgiving? All right? And the second reward that we experience now is that if you're carrying a grudge, if you still have anger or disappointment or hurt based on the actions of someone that did something that hurt you, you need to forgive them and you need to bless them in some way so that you can receive the reward of not carrying that weight. Come on. Let's be happy. Let's live free. That's what Jesus died. But just saying I forgive them isn't enough. You need to bless them. And then you need to give all that you have in that blessing. And then the second reason is you will be sons or children of the Most High. Right? That means, okay, Jesus is saying, when you do this, when you love your enemies, when you bless those who curse you, you know, the whole turning the cheek is not talking about self-defense. When someone slaps you in the face, they're not shooting you with a gun, they're shaming you. It was an act of being shamed publicly. And Jesus said, when that happens, don't turn and hide, don't grumble and hold a grudge, turn around. And give them the opportunity to maybe behave differently. Stand your ground. I love you. Slap you, jerk. No, I'm not a jerk. Boy, that was courageous. Because I could take you down. So it's not talking about self-defense. It's talking about not getting even. And giving the person another chance. Listen. So we'll be able to take on, the second benefit is that we take on the character of our Father by doing that, because this is how our Father behaves. He forgives, He blesses and he gives all that he has so that the very people who offended him, you and I, can experience blessing, can experience freedom, can experience forgiveness, and can experience eternal reward. Now listen, how many want to see miracles? How many want to see healings, freedom? We all want to see that. I don't have the power to pray for somebody and in my own power see that healing happen, right? I believe I have the authority to pray and God will heal them. But God has given you the power to do a miracle. Completely into your hands, the miracle of forgiveness, right? You have the power to perform a miracle of forgiveness. The greatest miracle ever happened, Jesus dying on a cross, paying for your sin, forgiveness for sin, right? You have the same authority to forgive the sins of others. Maybe, let me just suggest, that if we get good operating in the power of forgiveness of those who sin against us, of loving our enemies and blessing those who do us wrong, maybe becoming more like our Father in that way will open up the door of the power to see more of the power of the miraculous, of healings, of resurrections, of supernatural provision, and whatever other miracle we want to see. So Scott's going to close in prayer.
Yeah. Thank you, Thomas. Is this the scripture? Well, let's stand up, guys. Yeah. I just feel like the Lord wants to bless the unthankful and evil today. If that's you, could you just raise your hand? It says he's kind. I thought that's pretty good, isn't it? We need to have an altar call because he just wants to bless everyone. Well, Father, let's close our eyes. Let's pray. Father, we give our hearts to you. And we recognize that we have been receivers of your grace. We are receivers of your grace. And we thank you for that. And today we choose to forgive. Father, we choose to forgive. And if there's somebody on your heart or on your hands, just the best you can, just forgive them. Forgive them right now. Father, we forgive. And Lord, we want to go beyond that and we want to bless. Yeah. Who is it that is under your skin? Who's bugging you? Just in your heart, come up with a blessing. Speak it over them. Speak a blessing. Speak a blessing. Father, we want to be people who bless. Thank you, Father. Kathy, why don't you come on up? Do you want to leave this out? Okay. Kathy came up between the services. She was here first service and she just kind of had this great idea as an exercise that we can do as a church to respond to this.
So when Cameron was sharing in first service, he mentioned, he was talking about, you know, when we forgive and we go beyond that and we bless, that we see miracles sometimes. And, you know, how many of us want to see that? And so he actually mentioned Mike Wirth. And he said, how many of you want to see Mike get up out of his wheelchair? And of course, we want to see that. And God's been working in Mike, and he continues to work in Mike. But I just had this overwhelming feeling that as a church, that we could bless the family that caused the accident, that we could just speak forgiveness to them and bless them. And so, of course, I asked Mona, and you know, they're completely on board and excited to do that too. So just as a church, let's just take a few seconds and just bless them. So God, we just thank you for this family, Lord. You know this this family, and you know where they're at, and we don't need to know all of those details, Lord. We just ask you to bless them. We ask you to forgive them, Lord. We speak out our forgiveness to that family, Lord. We don't hold any grudges. We don't hold anything against them. We ask you to bless them, Lord, to just begin to work in their family and in their hearts, and that, God, you would just bless them in ways that we can't even imagine. And, God, that we ask that you would continue to work in Mike's body and in his heart and in their family and in Mona, and that we would just continue to see the miracles that you're doing, Lord. We thank you, Lord.
Yeah, we just pray for the driver of the other vehicle that they would be released from any burden of guilt, Amen. Any sense of shame Amen. As they remember, any trauma driving, any fear of driving, any trouble sleeping at night, any embarrassment that someone else will find out and ask them what happened and they'll have to tell the story. Lord, we bless the driver that they would feel light and free and filled with peace. We bless them to have an amazing Christmas and that they would just have the best time ever with the best presents and decorations and family and friends. We bless and release in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Well, guys, yeah. So we'll pray for healing too. Let's just pray for healing for Mike. So Father, if anyone wants to lay hands on him, Father, we lift up Mike and we just ask for your healing. Right now, Father God, we just pray for a breakthrough for this brother that we love, this father that we love, this father in your house. Just release your healing. Release your healing. Release your healing. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Just release your healing power. Holy Spirit, come.